Oh, my God. They're letting me back on? I don't believe this. Good morning, Truth Seekers. Malloy here, sitting in for Jerry Springer again on Springer on the Radio. I thought after yesterday I might have gotten an email or FedEx overnight letter that said, hey, listen, Malloy, we really enjoyed having you on the program yesterday, but don't do it again! Anyway, we're back. Malloy sitting in for Jerry Springer. Welcome to the program. If you would like to join in the fun and frivolity today, the phone number here is 877-34-JERRY. That translates to 877-345-3779. As always, on whatever program I'm hosting, whether it's mine or sitting in as a guest host for someone, such as, in this case, Jerry Springer, right-wingers, conservatives, Bush lovers are invited to call in. I always say that, and then I usually wind up, screaming at them, because normally when these guys or gals call, usually it's a guy, when they call in, I can only take about 20 seconds of it, and then I just want to explode because of the inanity of what they're saying, the asininity of what they're saying, the incomprehensibility of what they're saying, and the parrot-like quality of what right-wingers have to say. But I'm willing to give it a try every single time I'm on the air. I say the same thing. If you want to join in, join in if you're a right-winger. Just be prepared to have your rear end handed to you, because I don't tolerate fools, suckers, Bush lovers, or whatever. We're going to focus a little bit this morning on the situation in Iraq. Can it get any worse? I was listening to All Things Considered on my local NPR station this morning, which, by the way, is driving me crazy. They're in the middle of a fundraiser. Don't you hate that? And All Things Considered, you get about 25% of it. And the rest of it is,
well, we need is another $17,000 by 8 o'clock, and then we can stop interrupting.
But anyways, listening on All Things Considered this morning, and, oh, my God, I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, well, it must not have been important. It had something to do with, oh, yeah, that's right. It had to do with this horrific situation in Iraq. And an author of a book, an American who has co-authored a report, not a book, a report on the situation in Iraq. He's co-authored it with an Iraqi citizen. And the interviewer said, is there a chance that the situation in Iraq can become any worse? And the American author answered, yes, of course it can, as bad as it is now. But I listened to this interview, and I'm just horrifying. Horrifying. Now, I would imagine that, some right-wing chuckle-headed freak is now going to prevail upon Congress to cut the funding from NPR because they deigned to tell the truth this morning about the situation in Iraq. It is so bad, Truth Seeker. It is getting worse and worse and worse. In this month of October that still has a week to run, American dead are now, I think, is now approaching 75 young Americans, and Americans not so young, have been killed, murdered by George W. Bush, murdered by Donald Rumsfeld, murdered by Dick Cheney. Sent into a war we had no business sending. What are we up to 3,000, 35? How many dead Americans now? How much more blood does the Bush crime family need to wallow in before they finally realize that this war was lost on the day that we invaded? And now I hear that George Bush is trying to compare this to the Tet Offensive in 1968 in Vietnam. What the hell does he remember of 1968 in Vietnam? Isn't that when he was hiding out in a Champaign unit, the Texas Air National Guard, doing drugs? What, did somebody sit him down and say, George, Tet, T-E-T, offensive, this is what happened. Long time ago, George, you were high. You were stoned. You were bumbling around either Texas or Alabama, groping girls and doing drugs and drinking booze. But this is what happened. So now Bush is trying to make a comparison. What is really scary, though, you know how the right wing in this country and the not so right wing continually demonizes the people who are fighting to get the Americans out of there, to get us out of there. The insurgents, the Islamists, the Shia, the Sunni, the Al-Qaeda, whatever name they go by. If a force invaded the United States, Truth Seeker, wouldn't you and I start murdering that invading force? Wouldn't we? Wouldn't we put snipers on top of every building? Wouldn't we consider, some of the more ardent of us consider, suicide bombings to get rid of this infesting military that had attacked our country? Wouldn't we? Yes, I think we would. Not Republicans. Republicans would immediately sign off and join the invaders. This is what Republicans do. They're like the Vichy France during World War II. Republicans, conservatives, would immediately embrace the invaders and say, oh, yeah, well, you know, we'll help you go kill liberals and Democrats. But real Americans would fight, and we would fight tooth and nail. And you cannot ignore that reality where it concerns Iraq. But I last night on the internet, I was looking at some of the videos that are posted at CNN that were lifted from Al Jazeera that shows American soldiers being shot down by Iraqi snipers. The suicide bomb, the car bombs, and the snipers now are guaranteeing there is no way. Military strategists tried to inform this dumb jerk in the White House and this psychotic bloodlust freak in the Defense Department, Donald Rumsfeld, that there is no way that a force like ours can defeat a force like theirs in an urban insurgency. It cannot be done. Ask the French. Talk to them about Algeria. Ask our own military leaders. Talk to us about Vietnam. Why is this so hard for military planners, civilian military planners, to understand? You cannot defeat an insurgency in its own country. Ask the British, where it concerns Northern Ireland. Why is this so hard for these people to understand? Why do they insist on sending more and more Americans to their deaths? Why do we insist on killing more and more Iraqis? You want one of the answers? I started to say that when you hear these right-wingers talk about the Islamists or about the so-called insurgency, they usually talk about the insanity of the Islamic religion. Now, let me state for the record, if you don't already know, I consider all religions insane. They are basically insane, inherently insane. Now, starting from that position, that's just where I come from, the Christian faith, which has done more, Catholic and Protestant, you know, kind of like Shia and Sunni, the Christian faith has done more to wash this planet in blood than any faith that I'm aware of. But then we have this. The top U.S. general, Marine General Peter Pace, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, was at a meeting the other day in Miami of the Southern Command. And he said that Donald Rumsfeld is inspired by God. Peter Pace said, quote, he leads, referring to Rumsfeld, not God, he leads in a way that the good Lord tells him is best for our country. Oh, my God. Here we go again. What is it with the top levels of military command in this country, and it seems like in most countries, that they seem to have this conduit, this telephone hotline to some divine creature who says, yes, kill more! Give me more dead! I want more blood! And now Peter Pace joins in this cacophony of religious fanatic nutballs who are saying that Rumsfeld, not just Bush, when are they going to say Cheney talks to God? What kind of a God talks to Cheney? Claire, what kind of a God talks to Cheney? Now take it easy, Malloy. Calm down. You've only been on the air for 15 minutes. Another senior aide to Rumsfeld, another general, a Navy admiral, James Stavridis, who is now the head of Southern Command, again referring to Rumsfeld, said, quote, he comes to work every day with a single-minded focus to make this country safe. We're lucky as a nation that he continues to serve with such passion and such integrity and such determination and such brilliance, unquote. I wonder if after he said that, Stavridis stood up and took a tissue and cleaned himself off. This is unbelievable. Unbelievable. But there you have it, truth seekers. According to top generals, Donald Rumsfeld is inspired by God. God wants Iraqis dead. No. God wants infidels dead. No. God wants Jews dead. No. God wants Hindus dead. No. God wants Muslims dead. No. He wants Christians dead. No. Who is this bloodlusted God? Does anybody have any ideas? We'll be back after the break. Aye.
Jerry Springer.
Dancing with the Stars.
And talking with you on the radio at 877-345-3779. 877-34-JERRY.
Springer on Air America Radio.
About 21 past the hour. This is the Jerry Springer program, Springer on the Radio. Malloy's sitting in again today. And I understand that a lot of the things I say, a lot of people find highly offensive, especially where it concerns religion. Now, I don't make any apologies for that. I really don't. Because when I look at the problems that face so much of this planet, I see the heavy claw print of religion. But I know a lot of people listen to the Springer program, probably do have a belief system, and I don't know what to tell you. When I hear generals whose sole purpose is to wreak havoc, destroy things, blow things up, kill people, which is the primary function of war. The primary function of war is not nation building. It's a contest. It's to see, you know who's declared the winner? Not who comes across with the best PR, not who controls television or the news media. The winner in a war is that side that kills the most people and destroys the most things. And then when it's all over, you see, and the bodies are counted and the destroyed things are looked at, a winner is declared. Somebody surrenders. When I hear the people who are architects of mass murder and mayhem and destruction and death of children and non-combatants and old people and dogs and cats and the environment and seeding and salting the ground with depleted uranium and utter and absolute destruction, when I hear those people invoke the name of God, I want to vomit. And it reaffirms for me in a deep and abiding way the idiocy, the utter idiocy of the whole religious enterprise. So, to you Springer listeners who do still entertain the idea of a supreme being who does what? I am sorry if your sensibilities are offended. That doesn't mean I'm going to stop talking the way I talk, ever. But it does mean that I feel sorry for the fact that your sensibilities are being offended. And that's all I'm going to say about that. But now the top generals in the United States military are declaring that Rumsfeld has a hotline to God. Rumsfeld has a hotline to the Almighty and is doing the Almighty's bidding. More murder, more mayhem, more death, more destruction. I love it. I'm God the Hairy Thunderer. Rah! Kill! Give me more blood. Please. The Bush crime family which is claims to be awaiting the recommendations of a commission put together. This is the James Baker Blue Ribbon Commission, former Secretary of State James Baker, a commission exploring U.S. options in the Iraq murder and occupation. The Bush crime family yesterday emphatically ruled out some proposals to end the war. Tony Snow, who is obviously a disciple of Satan, you can tell by looking at him. Tony Snow said that a suggestion to divide Iraq into three regions, form of a federation. The three divisions, of course, would be Sunni, Shia, and Kurdish regions. The Kurds have already said, screw you, we're out of here. It's de facto, the Kurdish North is a de facto state even as we talk. But the Shia and the Sunni, who insist on murdering each other in the name of their particular god. The idea of dividing these three factions into regions over which they maintain control is called by Tony Snow as a non-starter. That's a non-starter. You evil bastard. There are people dying by the tens of thousands, and you call any kind of a solution a non-starter? This is not a business. Well, I guess it is, isn't it? Who was it, Andy Card, or one of these bombatist freaks that worked in the Bush administration before the war began? And the occupation began, said, well, you don't roll out a new product in August. They've always looked at this invasion and this occupation as the introduction of a new product line. Eternal war sanctioned by God. So now it's a non-starter to allow these three autonomous regions to develop and leave. That's a non-starter. And similarly, Tony Snow, a minion of Satan, said a phased withdrawal of American troops, perhaps by 5% every 2 months, also was a non-starter. We want more death. We, the Bush crime family, and I am Tony Snow, Fox commentator, Murdoch employee, wormhole investigator, and now here I am as spokesperson for the Bush murderers. We want more death. More death. More of your American boys. More of your husbands and your fathers. We want to see more funerals. We watch the funerals. You can't, but we do. Cheney gets aroused when the big C-130 transports come in. With coffin after coffin after coffin, Cheney likes to go down and watch. I want more death. More death. Any of you right-wingers, you Bush suckers who are listening, call me and tell me one justification for this war. I dare you. I dare you to even make the attempt. 877-34-JERRY. One justification for the continual slaughter of American young men and Iraqi young, old men, women, children, babies, fetuses! Come on, give me a call. This is the Springer Program. We'll be back in a moment.
Conversation at 1-877-34-JERRY. That's 1-877-345-3779.
Comments? Criticism? You know what? Just send comments. He doesn't take criticism very well. Jerry at SpringerOnTheRadio.com.
Jerry Springer
on the radio.
Springer on Air America Radio.
can join our conversation at 1-877-34-JERRY. That's 1-877-345-3779. But right now, let's send it to Gerald Fearmon for Crack News.
And now, spanning the globe with the expanding spandex of spin, this is News You Can Depend On. Journalism with a capital G. Gerald Fearmon, reporting the latest edition of Croc News. Croc News knows. Now.
Gerald Fearmon is on assignment in the stars. I'm Katie Krockick, Croc News. Will North Korea conduct a second nuclear test? Can Kim Jong-il get it up again so soon? Kim says he has achieved the ability to decide any time in a 36-hour period whether to launch. But Dick Cheney warns that such recklessness could blow up in his face. The retired priest in Italy suspected of molesting Mark Foley as a boy says there was no actual sex as defined by the Bill Clinton dictionary. But the priest admits he was addicted to tranquilizers back then and that there's one night with Foley he doesn't remember clearly. He can't recall whether the drug addiction caused him to molest the boy or to start doing a conservative radio talk show. Predictions of weekend terrorist attacks at several stadiums appear unfounded. Now, some are accusing the government of just spreading fear to affect the upcoming election. Karl Rove says that's nonsense, and besides, Democrats want to eat your children. NBC says it must cut 700 jobs, consolidate several divisions, fire some highly paid performers, and produce less expensive TV shows. Next season, NBC will change their peacock to a penguin, broadcast in low-def black and white, and present revamped cheaper shows such as Sunday Night Chess, No Deal, and The Tonight Show with Corey Feldman. Stay tuned to Croc News. We give it just the way you like it. The prettiest newscasters with the ugliest stories. For Gerald Fearmon on assignment in the stars, I'm Katie Krockick, Croc News.
The voice of reason,
Jerry
Springer, on the radio.
Before the hour, Malloy sitting in for Jerry Springer. Back to the Bush crime family's official position now, thanks to Tony Snow, one of the minions of Satan, who acts as the spokesperson. Snow went on to say at the press conference on Thursday, regarding Bush's remarks Wednesday, that's when Bush said that the surge of violence in Iraq could be comparable to the 68 Tet Offensive that prompted Americans to lose support for the Vietnam War, which is insane. The Tet Offensive did not prompt Americans to lose support for the war in Vietnam. What prompted Americans to lose support for the war in Vietnam was the mass killing of hundreds of thousands and ultimately a couple of million Vietnamese, the mass killing of nearly 60,000 American soldiers, the saturating of the country of Vietnam, both north and south, with herbicides and poisons that are still killing people. In other words, the American public back in the 70s, it wasn't 68, the war continued to what, 1973? Thanks to Henry Kissinger? Thanks to Dick Nixon, the war ended because the American people got sick of it and because we finally realized we cannot win a war like the one in Vietnam and now like the one in Iraq. But Tony Snow and this doofus we have in the White House do not understand, cannot understand history. Tony Snow went on to say, quote, the president was making a point regarding the Tet Offensive that he's made before, which is that terrorists try to exploit pictures and try to use the media as conduits for influencing public opinion in the United States, end quote. This is how sick these people are. Tony Snow went on to say, quote, the important thing to remember is the president's determined. It's not going to happen with Iraq defeat because you have a president who is determined to win. And the strategy is a threefold strategy that involves security, economics, and political reconciliation working with the Iraqis and will continue to make adjustments as necessary to pursue victory. And then Snow said, but the one thing that nobody should have any doubt about is that we're going to win. Like it was a soccer game. I can't believe this. Now, the top U.S. military spokesman in Iraq, while General Peter Pace is in Florida claiming that Rumsfeld is another one of the Bush top ruling clique that has direct conversations with God, the top U.S. military spokesman in Iraq acknowledged yesterday that this security crackdown by American Iraqi forces, so-called, has failed miserably. As a matter of fact, attacks in Baghdad now are up, according to the military, 22%, which means they are up roughly 50 or 60%. Major General William B. Caldwell IV said military planners might have to go back to the drawing board. The drawing board. Go back to the drawing... No, that isn't that a term from the architects used? Go back to the drawing board. And what do you do there, General? Do you take another look at the idiocy of what we're involved in? What do you do? Do you send word back through the civilian chain of command that this is insane? That the slaughter is going to continue? What do you do? Or do you come up with another plan that is also not going to work? You know, a lot of these military psychos in the leadership positions, whether they're civilian or retired or active duty, keep talking about increasing the number of troops if we really want to win. Do you know how many troops we had in Vietnam at the height of the Vietnam conflict? Do you know how many we had? Wasn't it over 500,000? How many do we have in Iraq? 138,000? This is a turkey shoot, and our men, our women, our young people are placed in the roles of the turkeys, thanks to Donald Rumsfeld, who talks with God. This is the Springer Program. I'm Mike Malloy.
Your opinion expressed when calling Jerry at 877-345-3779 will be kept confidential.
All our calls are being monitored. Got that?
Oh, never mind. Jerry Springer on the radio.
Springer on Air America Radio.
About 16 before the hour. Mike Malloy sitting in for Jerry Springer. Let's do some phone calls. Coming up at the right after the break at the top of the hour, I want to share with you a letter that's been released to the media from Pat Tillman's family. It was written by Kevin Tillman, and I'm going to share it with you. You remember the Pat Tillman story, the lies that were told about Pat Tillman's death in Afghanistan, the NFL football player. Who joined the military with the idea that, I need to do something to avenge what happened on September 11, 2001. You know that story. We'll do that right after the top of the hour. Let's go to your phones now. Thanks, everybody, for holding on. Sarge is calling from Mississippi. Sarge, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
Doing fine, sir.
Congratulations on Nova M.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah, that starts October 30th, 9 p.m. to midnight on Nova M Radio Network.
Y'all good. Right after listening to Bob Kincaid on Head On Radio, I can switch on over to your station.
There you go.
That'd be great, man. Because, hey, that you and Bob, back to back.
There you go.
Nice heaven, man, because I heard you guys last night.
Yeah, we
great.
Had fun. Yeah.
But everybody, switch on over to Head On after this show's over, because I think I got a show. But anyway, I wanted to clear up something for you. You mentioned yesterday on the egg communities.
Yeah, well, first of all, let me just let people know. This had to do, Sarge is from South Mississippi, and which took the brunt of the full force of the hurricane Katrina, and is still living in a war zone down there. He's a veteran, Vietnam veteran. That's why we call him Sarge. Now, when I read your email, I didn't know, what is an egg community? I have no idea what that means.
I thought I'd explain that. I guess I didn't put that in there, did I? It's what it is. They call them egg communities because the trailers are just nothing but really like shells.
Oh, like an eggshell.
Right.
Gotcha.
And there's not much to them, but they're better than nothing.
I got you. Okay.
And I stayed up all night long for two reasons. One, to talk to you, and two, because I'm going to work on that deal today. I'm getting in touch with FEMA, and I'm going to find out what in the hell's going on there.
Now, what Sarge's talking about, a lot of the people who live in these trailers are being told they have to get out. Is that
yes,
right?
Yes, and there
out
is
on the
no
street.
Place to go. And the area is infested with diseases. There's mold and mildew and all kind of parasites. And if you go out and you look into the water in the Gulf, you can see debris still floating out there. You can see it standing out of the water. The people are committing suicide at the rate of 200%. Teenage suicides are skyrocketing. The people are in a state of depression like you would never believe. They are living in a fourth world situation, Mike. These people down there are suffering. Now, Ray from Baton Rouge, who called you yesterday, mm-hmm. he's my webmaster at unreportednews.net.
Mm-hmm.
He and I are going down there Tuesday if everything works right. And we'll be giving reports at our website, unreportednews.net. But we're going down there, and we're going to look into this thing. Because, Mike, I have had to fight these people. And, you know, I've been fighting for a long time.
I know you have.
But the situation is worse. Worse, Mike.
I don't understand. But I don't understand. You got Haley Barbour is your governor, who used to be the head of the Republican Party. You got Trent Lott, a big old sucker who has all kinds of power, even though he was removed as a Senate Majority Leader.
Well, Mike, I tell you right now, Trent Lott is suing his insurance company, and he's vocally criticizing the procedure. And I came out and I told Eric Fleming, who's running against him, I said, tell the man, you have the power. What are you griping about? You caused this, man, so you shut up.
Why isn't George Bush and FEMA helping? Mississippi is a so-called red state. Mississippi votes Republican. Mississippi loves George Bush. Mississippi loves Haley Barbour and Trent Lott. What the hell is going on, Sarge?
Well, you know, that's the funny part about it. On the Mississippi coast right now, Trent Lott's going to be lucky if he carries his own home county, Jackson County, because the man has done nothing for the people, and they are mad. But the bad thing about it, Mike, is the Democrats are not picking up the ball and running with it, and the people are even getting disillusioned with the Democrats. Now, we got some fine Democrats down here. Eric Fleming, he's a top-notch guy. He's been down there. He's worked. He's rolled up his sleeves. He's rebuilt stuff. You know, he's been down there working with people. But you don't hear about that on the news because the news media here is full of crap.
All right. I've got to leave there, Sarge. What's your website?
Unreportednews.net. We call it UNN.
Unreportednews.net. And you're going to check out the situation in South Mississippi and put something up on your site, right?
And, hey, good luck, buddy.
All right. Stay in touch, Sarge. Stay in touch. Can you believe that? What's it been? 15 months since Katrina? And the Bush crime family doesn't care. Oh, but we got to continue the slaughter in Iraq. That's real important. Oh, and in Afghanistan, got to continue murdering people. But helping Americans get back on their feet? No, please. This is the Springer Program.
Jerry's talking to you.
You can talk back
by calling 877-345-3779. That's 877-34-JERRY.
Springer
on the radio.
Jerry Springer on Air America Radio.
It's about 6 minutes before the hour. This is the Springer program. Mike Malloy sitting in for Jerry yesterday and today. He'll be back Monday. I know a lot of the Springer fans will be like, whew, thank God, Jerry's back. Back to your phone calls. Ray is calling from Baton Rouge. Ray, welcome to the program.
I add something to your talk about religions and everything.
Okay.
Remember before 9-1-1, or after 9-1-1, they said that God removed the veil that protected New York?
Oh, yeah, that's what, Falwell and the Robertson sat around and talked about how the queers had caused this to happen. Yeah, I remember.
Now, the thing I don't understand is why doesn't God have these veils over the military in Iraq to prevent them from dying?
Yeah, it does raise an interesting theological question, doesn't it? Right up there with how many angels can dance on the head of a pin.
That's true. Now, I understand they can't dance.
Yeah, well, you probably not.
Anyway, I also wanted to comment on Katrina, and now I just forgot what it was about. But anyway, Sergeant and I are going down there Tuesday, and it's just a mess. I mean, the whole thing is a mess. We had problems here in Baton Rouge or in Louisiana with explosions from the FEMA trailers because people don't know how to start the propane.
Explosions?
Explosions. FEMA had to come out here to service 7,000 trailers by painting red on the knob that turns on the propane.
Oh my God!
And that's all they had to do was go put a red to indicate it's dangerous.
Oh my God!
Just wanted to pass that on to you.
All right, thanks. Appreciate you checking in, Ray. Take care. Mike is calling from Lake Zurich, Illinois. Mike, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. I love your anger. I really do. I've been angry with these guys since Bush got into office.
Oh, I know. It's your anger too, pal.
I saw them for what they were, and I'd talk to my friends, and they'd say, well, you know, he's not the best president, but I don't think he means us harm. And Jerry does the same thing on his show. I don't think he's a bad person. Of course he is.
Jerry's not a bad person.
No, Jerry's not a bad person.
Oh.
But Jerry always gives Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld and all those thieves the benefit of the doubt. And I think that although, you know, we can't Bush bash all the time,
right,
it is appropriate.
Well, I think Springer tries to find a balance. And I have respect for people that try to find balance. It's just that I've passed that point. I guess I've been in talk radio too long, or I've been in the news business too long. I'm past that point. I can't find balance anymore, Mike. I just want these bastards out of office. I want my country back in the hands of people who know how to govern. That's all. Mike, we got a break here. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you checking in. All right, coming back after the top of the hour, we're going to I want to share with you this letter from Pat Tillman's family. So stick around, all right? Two more hours of fun and frivolity today on the Springer program. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
This is Springer on the radio.
Welcome back. Six past the hour. Mike Malloy sitting in for Jerry Springer. Springer on the radio. Jerry will be back Monday. Same time, same station, as I say. Pat Tillman was an NFL football star. He joined the United States Army, went through Ranger training as a means of expressing his particular patriotism. Subsequent to the attack on this country on September 11th, 2001. He was sent to Afghanistan, where he died. The U.S. military reported that Pat Tillman was killed by enemy fire in an heroic effort to take a hill, a mountain, a village, whatever. Turned out he was killed by so-called friendly fire. This was kept from Pat Tillman's family until finally the military had to tell the truth. How many lies have been told about our adventures in Iraq and Afghanistan? Pat Tillman's, I think, is only one. Kevin Tillman wrote this. Kevin and his brother Pat joined the Army in 2002. They served together in Iraq and Afghanistan. Pat was killed in Afghanistan on April 22, 2004. Kevin, who was discharged in 2005, has written a powerful must-read document. Here's what Kevin Tillman writes. It is Pat's birthday on November 6th, and elections are the day after. He gets me thinking about a conversation I had with Pat before we joined the military. He spoke about the risks of signing the papers, how once we committed we were at the mercy of the American leadership and the American people, how we could be thrown in a direction not of our volition, how fighting as a soldier would leave us without a voice until we get out. Much has happened since we handed over our voice. Somehow, we were sent to invade a nation because it was a direct threat to the American people, or to the world, or harbored terrorists, or was involved in the September 11th attacks, or received weapons-grade uranium from Niger, or had mobile weapons labs, or weapons of mass destruction, or had a need to be liberated, or we needed to establish a democracy, or stop an insurgency, or stop a civil war we created that can't be called a civil war, even though it is. Something like that. Somehow America has become a country that projects everything that it is not and condemns everything that it is. Somehow our elected leaders were subverting international law and humanity by setting up secret prisons around the world, secretly kidnapping people, secretly holding them indefinitely, secretly not charging them with anything, secretly torturing them. Somehow that overt policy of torture became the fault of a few bad apples in the military. Somehow back at home, support for the soldiers meant having a 5-year-old kindergartner scribble a picture with crayons and send it overseas, or slapping stickers on our cars, or lobbying Congress for an extra pad in a helmet. It's interesting that a soldier on his third or fourth tour should care about a drawing from a 5-year-old, or a faded sticker on a car as his friends die around him, or an extra pad in a helmet, as if it will protect him when an IED throws his vehicle 50 feet into the air as his body comes apart and his skin melts to the seat. Somehow, the more soldiers that die, the more legitimate the illegal invasion becomes. Somehow, American leadership, whose only credit is lying to its people and illegally invading a nation, has been allowed to steal the courage, virtue, and honor of its soldiers on the ground. Somehow, those afraid to fight an illegal invasion decades ago are allowed to send soldiers to die for an illegal invasion they started. Somehow, faking character, virtue, and strength is tolerated. Somehow, profiting from tragedy and horror is tolerated. Somehow, the deaths of tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people is tolerated. Somehow, subversion of the Bill of Rights and the Constitution is tolerated. Somehow, suspension of habeas corpus is supposed to keep this country safe. Somehow, torture is tolerated. Lying is tolerated. Somehow reason is being discarded for faith, dogma, and nonsense. Somehow American leadership managed to create a more dangerous world. Somehow a narrative is more important than reality. Somehow America has become a country that projects everything that it is not and condemns everything that it is. Somehow the most reasonable, trusted, and respected country in the world has become one of the most irrational, belligerent, feared, and distrusted countries in the world. Somehow, being politically informed, diligent, and skeptical has been replaced by apathy through active ignorance. Somehow the sane, incompetent, narcissistic, virtuous, vacuous, malicious criminals are still in charge of this country. Somehow this is tolerated. Somehow nobody is accountable for this. In a democracy, the policy of the leaders is the policy of the people. So don't be shocked when our grandkids bury much of this generation as traitors to the nation, to the world, and to humanity. Most likely, they will come to know that somehow was nurtured by fear, insecurity, and indifference, leaving the country vulnerable to unchecked, unchallenged parasites. Luckily, this country is still a democracy. People still have a choice. People still can take action. It can start right after Pat's birthday. Signed, Kevin Tillman. Now, for you right-wing vermin, this is written by a combat veteran. not a cowardly son of a bitch like you people, who are more than willing to see other people go die like it was a football game.
Our side, yay, yay! If you criticize the war, you're aiding and abetting the terrorists.
I wonder how Tony Snow would like to face Kevin Tillman. And let Tony Snow say to Kevin Tillman's face, what? You don't support our glorious president who talks with God? Why, you are making it easy for the enemy. Or let Kevin Tillman have a conversation with Dennis Hastert, who said the other day that people who want peace in Iraq and want to end to this hideous, horrendous war, and who want an end to the idea that America can now torture people, that somehow they are making special deals for terrorists. These Republicans are so evil, it's beyond anything I can say. Well, listen to Kevin Tillman, you right-wing animals. Listen to Kevin Tillman. Listen to somebody who served in two theaters of combat. Listen to somebody who joined the United States military because he believed the lies. And then take a look at yourself in the mirror, right-winger. Bush sucker, conservative, Republican. Take a look at yourself. Look what you're doing to my country. You cowardly thugs. Buried deep in the what was it? What's this thing that Bush signed the other day? The military something-something act that legitimizes torture now and destroys habeas corpus and turns this country essentially into a country without a Bill of Rights. Buried deep in there is a pardon for George W. Bush. Elizabeth Holtzman, who is a former congressman from New York and co-author of The Impeachment of George W. Bush, A Practical Guide for Concerned Citizens. Excuse me, wrote for the Sun-Times the other day, 32 years ago, Gerald Ford created a political firestorm by pardoning Richard Nixon of all crimes he may have committed in Watergate, and Ford lost his election as a result. Now, Holtzman writes, Bush, to avoid a similar public outcry, is quietly trying to pardon himself of any crimes connected with the torture and mistreatment of U.S. detainees. This pardon is buried in Bush's proposed legislation to create a new kind of military tribunal for cases involving top al-Qaeda operatives. The pardon provision has nothing to do with the tribunals. Instead, it guts the War Crimes Act of 1996, a federal law that makes it a crime, in some cases punishable by death, to mistreat detainees in violation of the Geneva Conventions, and makes the new weaker terms of the War Crimes Act retroactive to September 11, 2001. Press accounts of the provision have described it as providing immunity for CIA interrogators, but its terms cover the president and other top officials because the act applies to any U.S. national. Holtzman goes on to say, avoiding prosecution under the War Crimes Act has been an obsession of this administration since shortly after 9/11. In a January 2002 memorandum to the president, then White House counsel Alberto Gonzalez pointed out the problem of prosecution for detainee mistreatment under the War Crimes Act. And it goes on here. It goes on. And it talks about how George W. Bush and the monsters who now run this country are trying to cover their own asses. They don't care how many American young men and women are slaughtered, how many Iraqis are slaughtered. Oh, God. Well, let me hide some legislation here that protects me. This man is a coward. This man should be driven from office. Stay with us. I'm Mike Miller. 21 past the hour. Mike Malloy here sitting in for Jerry Springer today. By the way, the Pat Tillman thing, if you want your own copy of that, and you should have one, you can find it at Truth Digest, an online publication. It's TruthDig, TruthDig.com. And when you get there, just look for it. It's titled After Pat's Birthday, TruthDig.com. We're going to come to your calls here in just a second, but I want to finish this up. Gonzalez, Alberto Gonzalez, pointed out the problem of members of the Bush crime family being prosecuted for detainee abuse. In other words, hauling people in, people that Gonzalez and Bush and Cheney designated as enemy combatants, and torturing them. Jesus, I can't believe I'm saying that. Torturing them. And what Gonzalez pointed out to this moron in the White House is that no one could predict what future prosecutors and independent counsels might do if they decide to bring charges under the War Crimes Act. Now, most countries have laws on the books that say that people can be tried in perpetuity after a dictatorship has been overthrown. The criminals can still be brought to justice if they can be tracked down. For example, Henry Kissinger has warrants out for his arrest, I think in 10 countries now, because of the murderous atrocities that he committed in Southeast Asia, the murderous atrocities that he enabled in South America, the murderous atrocities that he engineered in the continent of Africa. So Gonzalez pointed out to Bush, you know, you could be arrested and prosecuted too. Gonzalez also understood that this possibility of prosecution will be there for as long as Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld and the rest of these animals are alive, because there's no statute of limitations in cases where death resulted from the mistreatment of prisoners. So prosecutors far into the future, not appointed by this jackass in the White House and not beholden to him, those prosecutors would be making the decisions whether or not to prosecute members of the Bush crime family. So, what to do? And as Elizabeth Holtzman writes in the Chicago Sun-Times, the administration has apparently decided to secure immunity from prosecution through legislation. Under cover of the controversy involving the military tribunals and whether they could use hearsay or coerce, that's tortured evidence, the administration is trying to pardon itself, hoping no one will notice. And the timetable, the urgent timetable of getting this done, has to do more than anything with the possibility that the next Congress will be controlled by Democrats. And the next Congress would not permit this kind of a provision to be adopted. Are you sickened yet, you right-wingers, you Bush suckers? Are you not sickened that this sneaky bastard and the people around him would try to do this? Gonzalez, Cheney, Rumsfeld, Bush. Oh, protect us. We want to watch people have their skin ripped off. We want to deny people protection of the courts, but protect us because we're violating the War Crimes Act passed by the United States Congress. Disgusting, disgusting, disgusting. Disgusting. I don't know how anyone in this country at this point can vote Republican. How do you do that? How can you do that? If you're Republican, what is it that you are getting from these monsters? What are you getting from the Republican Party and the conservatives? In the name of whatever you consider holy, answer the question. What are you getting? Does it all come down to some sort of weird, perverted satisfaction knowing that the queers can't get married? And the Republican Party, the queers don't have to get married. They're protected. You fool. What is it that you Republicans get in sending these cretins, these monsters, back into office again and again and again? What is it? Republicans have been in power now since 1994. What has happened since 1994?
Well, Mike, the stock market's over 12,000.
And the queers can't get married. So that's good. And George Bush believes in Jesus. So that's all I need to know.
I invite any Republican to call in and tell me what it is that you get in continuing to vote for an administration or a party that supports, not just supports, but advocates torture, killing, mass murder, invasions of countries based on lies, deception, destruction of the environment, murdering of American jobs, destruction of our home environment. What is it? What is it? What in the name of whatever you consider holy, like I said, what is it you're getting out of this, Mr. and Ms. Republican? What is it? Disrespect for children, disrespect for old people in this country, denying people medical coverage. What is it that you get that makes you vote Republican? Maybe 6 years ago, you just blindly voted Republican. But now, we have an election coming up in a week, 10 days. Why are you going to vote Republican? What is it you're going to get? What is it that you think is going to happen by sending these torturers, murderers, destroyers of the Constitution, invaders of your privacy, back to office? What are you going to get? And that's not a rhetorical question. I mean it. Is there not one of you Republican, conservative, right-wing Bush suckers out there who want to call this program and explain to Jerry of Springer's vast and erudite audience what it is that you are going to get in continuing to vote for killers? What is it, huh? You know, we make a big deal about how could the German people have allowed it to happen? Well, I toss the question to you. The number here is 877-34-JERRY. Call if you dare.
Hey, you can join our conversation at 1-877-34-JERRY. That's 1-877-345-3779.
He may read it on the air, or he may read it on... But he'll read it. Email jerry@springeronTheRadio.com.
Jerry.
Springer on the radio.
Springer on Air America Radio.
Conversation at 1-877-34-JERRY. That's 1-877-345-3779.
Hey, Laura, wake up. Laura,
what?
Wake up.
What, George, what time is it?
Oh, honey, I can't sleep.
Oh, George.
I got too much on my mind.
Honey.
I tried everything, Laura. Counting sheep, money, body bags, votes.
Your poll numbers will come back up. You'll see. Now go to sleep.
Sweetie, could you sing me that lullaby Mama used to sing?
Oh, George, of course.
Do it just the way she sung it to me when I was small and scared.
Just like last week, of course, honey.
That's right.
Hush, little Georgie, you're so sweet. Daddy's gonna buy you a life elite.
Sweet daddy.
And if that life starts with grades that fail, Daddy's gonna buy you a dorm at Yale.
Yeah.
And if at Yale you drink and get high, Daddy's gonna wipe away your DUI.
Thanks, Dad.
Then if Vietnam looks hard, Daddy's gonna get you in the National Guard.
Yeah, I was more of a soldier than that Dan Rather ever was.
George, you're relaxing now. Now just think nice thoughts.
Like Mama always said.
Remember what she used to sing to you, honey?
Yeah.
If you fail at every dream, Daddy's gonna buy you a baseball team.
Play ball.
And if that team ain't number one, Daddy's gonna buy you a state to run.
Texas.
And if that state you can't run right, Daddy's gonna buy you a house that's white.
This one, my own. I got my own.
Hush, George, we're going to sleep here.
Sorry, baby, you keep on singing.
If your job brings too much strain. Daddy's gonna buy you Karl Rove's brain.
Like the Scarecrow.
If that brain doesn't make you smart, Daddy's gonna buy you a war to start.
Thanks, Daddy.
And when your term has reached its ebb, Daddy's gonna buy your job for Jeb.
That's right.
Hush, little Georgie, I'm your wife. Sleep and enjoy a president's life. Whew, that took longer than usual.
My darling Laura.
Bill.
Did you get him to sleep?
How'd you get in here?
I stashed a key under the mat before we moved.
Bill.
You realize we're moving back in 2008.
Jerry Springer on the radio.
That was funny. It's about 24 before the hour. Excuse me. All right, back to your phone calls. I think we have somebody here who would like to support George Bush. Is that right? Dan in Woodstock, Illinois. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, this is Dan. Yeah, I just wanted to say that wars don't go like puppies and candy canes. People get blown up. Their skin gets melted off. All that stuff happens. And
which is a major reason, Dan, for making sure that you have a legitimate reason for starting a war. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, you've got to admit the importance of us succeeding in Iraq.
No. That's what George Bush and the psychopaths that run this country, we have no business being. Why didn't we attack Mexico?
Mike,
no, why didn't we attack Mexico?
Look,
no, answer the question. See, this is what you right-wingers do. You cannot face the truth. You cannot face reality. You know, you right-wingers are telling us right now that Mexico is causing more problems in the United States because of its flow of illegal immigrants than Iraq ever could. But why didn't we bomb Mexico after 9/11? Tell me.
People's heads off, okay?
Excuse me?
And Mexicans are not cutting our heads off. All right?
And you know why they're not, Dan? They're not cutting off American heads because we didn't invade them.
Well, let me answer you, okay?
Answer what?
Mexicans didn't fly the planes in the World Trade Center.
Neither did Iraqis, you moron. What the hell is wrong with you? Those were Saudis.
I'm insulting you.
Oh, go away. Get out of here, Dan. Hang up on this freak. I don't want to hear this. Mexicans didn't fly airplanes into the buildings on 9/11. What the hell? That must be a Fox News viewer. What was the report? 80% of people who watch Fox News don't have a clue as to what really happened. Who was responsible? Dan, you freak. 15 of the 19 hijackers who hit the buildings were Saudi Arabians. The rest of them were from the Middle East. They were not Iraqis. What is wrong with you? Even your brain-dead president said Saddam Hussein had nothing to do with 9/11. See, this is why I am so reluctant. I always put the call out there. I always do. I have yet, in 20 years of this, I have never yet heard a Republican or a right-winger, whether they were Ronald Reagan suckers or George Herbert Walker Bush suckers or George W. Bush suckers, able to call in any program I've ever hosted and ever give a logical, rational, truthful answer. Never, not once. With Reagan, it was about Lebanon and Grenada. With Herbert Walker Bush, it was about Central America. With this freak in the office now, it's about Iraq and Afghanistan. What the hell is wrong with you people? Can't you read? Can't you do independent research? Can't you understand what is being done in your name? Well, obviously the answer is no. Hell no. Double hell no. Go back to your ignorance. Wallow in it. But I'll tell you something, pal. It's killing you. It's destroying you. It's destroying your country. It's destroying your system of government. It's going to devour your children. But go ahead. Wallow in your ignorance. This is the Springer Program.
us now.
877-345-3779.
877-34-JERRY. Springer on the radio.
Jerry Springer on Air America Radio.
It's about 16 before the hour. Mike Malloy sitting in for Jerry Springer. You know, that last caller is a perfect example. I used to feel sorry for those people that they had to wallow in such ignorance that their decisions, political decisions, and I'm not talking just about who they voted for, but the political decisions necessary to run their own lives had to be made from a basis of such gross ignorance. I used to feel sorry for them. Now I feel nothing but contempt, nothing but contempt. It's astonishing to me how anyone in this country can be so damned ignorant of what is really going on. It's not a liberal truth or a Democratic truth or a Republican truth, you moron. It is the truth. We didn't attack Mexico because there were no Mexicans that flew planes into the buildings on September 11th. Oh, my God, how do you respond to that? Well, the way I do it is just shriek and say, get off the phone, you freak. I can't stand it. I have no patience with that. None. That is what is eating and destroying this country. That is what is undermining the Constitution, the rule of law, that kind of just gross ignorance. Am I bashing the caller? You're damn right. But it never fails. In 20 years of talk radio, I have never, ever, not once, whether I've done it in Atlanta, whether I've done it in Chicago, whether I've done it on a nationally syndicated program where the calls come from all over the world, I have yet to hear a right-winger or a Republican or a conservative be able in any manner, any shape or form to articulate the truth, not my truth, the objective truth. I sat here and read Pat Tillman's letter, and then this moron calls in. The question was, what has Bush done that makes you vote Republican? What has any Republican done since 1994 that makes you vote Republican? And I get these willfully ignorant suckers who call in here and want to justify an illegal, murderous war. Do you suppose that caller has a son or a daughter or a relative in uniform? Why? Hell no. And in so many instances, that wouldn't matter anyway. I can't stand it. I simply can't stand it. You know, a lot of people say, well, Mike, you invite these people to call in. Why do you go off on them? Yeah, I invite them in because I think maybe this time, sweet Jesus, maybe this time, there will be a right-winger or a conservative or a Bush sucker who will call in and be able to clearly articulate why he or she supports this monster. But no. Never. Not once. But the offer's still out there. Back to your phone calls. Eric is calling from Oxford, Michigan. Eric, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
Sure.
I wanted to say that as a man of faith, I also agree with your violent rejection of the things done in the name of those things that they call holy. I think it's absolutely horrible the things they've done. And I agree with that rejection. Now, we might disagree on some particulars, but that's not important. The things that these people, I mean, it's just, you know, that the report came out by John Hopkins, the university report.
Yeah, Johns Hopkins, right.
Yes, right, thank you. With 600,000 Iraqis dead, you know, right. You've been to a funeral. How many people are at the funeral for the one person who's died? Is there any, I mean, it's obvious why 80% of the country thinks it's okay to kill us. You know, if you look at the degrees of separation, now everybody in Iraq has had somebody killed.
By an American, right.
Probably by our bombs. And is it intentional? Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But that's not the point. I mean, when you think about those soldiers who slaughtered that family and raped that girl and covered it up. I mean, come on. Why would we expect there would be anything else than this hatred? And, you know, the thing's done in our name with zero accountability. Zero.
That's
I mean, why shouldn't we be rioting in the streets? You know, I would never advocate an armed insurrection, but why shouldn't it be done for this? I mean, it's drives. Oh, you know, I appreciate your anger. I appreciate your rage. And I got one last thing. Article 1, Section 9, Paragraph 3 of the Constitution, under the powers denied Congress. 22 words. Can I read them?
Sure. Yeah.
No bill of attainder or ex post facto law shall be passed. Now, bills of attainder are bills that deny rights to anybody.
Right.
And ex post facto, Latin, after the fact.
Right.
So that I haven't read the article in the Chicago Sun-Times, but I don't know if I haven't heard anybody address this. You cannot pass a bill saying retroactively that's okay. This administration.
Well, you can if you consider yourself to be above the law, as George Bush and Alberto Gonzalez and Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld consider themselves to be above the law. But I hear you loud and clear. Eric, I got to leave it there. Thanks for calling in. And I appreciate your anger. I know it's difficult to talk when you're choking on it. I experience that every day. This is the Springer Program.
Less of you means more of Jerry. So call now, please. 877-345-3779 is 877-34-JERRY. Springer on the radio.
Springer on Air America Radio.
It's about 6 before the hour. This is the Springer Program. Springer on the radio. Mike Malloy is sitting in for Jerry. He'll be back Monday. All right, let's try one more time. Tim is calling from Detroit. Tim, welcome to the program.
How are you, Mike?
Doing fine.
You're a pretty angry guy, Mike.
I'm an American. How could I not be angry?
Well, I just thought the question he asked that last caller there about why we didn't invade Mexico, I thought that was kind of an ignorant question.
No, not really, because we did something worse. At least if we would have invaded Mexico, it would have made as much sense as invading Iraq. We wouldn't have had to send our troops so far away, right?
Let me
ask you a question, Tim.
Okay,
why did we invade Iraq?
Well, here's why we invaded Iraq. You know, we were bombed on 9/11 by Islamic radical.
No. You're out of here, Tim. Goodbye. Goodbye, Tim. Go shriek at somebody else, you half-wit. Islamic radicals. Okay? Why didn't we bomb Indonesia? They're full of Islamic radicals. Why didn't we bomb, Chechnya? They're full of Islamic radicals. Why didn't we bomb Germany? They're full of Islamic radicals. You moron! You absolute ignorant fool! I try and try and try. You gotta give me credit for that. Telling me that my sarcastic question to the previous caller about why didn't we bomb Mexico was an ignorant question? These last two right-wing callers are a perfect example. You know, every time George Bush says or tries to articulate in his choppy, ignorant, stupid, drug-addled way, not unlike Rush Limbaugh, every time he tries to answer the question, why do they hate us, all he has to do is reference these last two callers. We're hated because of our unbelievably monumental arrogance and ignorance. That's why they hate us. My God. My question was, what has Bush or the Republican Party done in the last 2, 4, 6, 8 years, I don't care how far back you want to go, that compels you, Mr. or Miss Republican, conservative, Bush sucker, to vote for them on November the 8th or 7th? November the 8th is November. What compels you to vote for these Republicans? That's what I'm looking for. Not your asinine, half-witted answers about why we bombed Iraq, why we attacked and murdered 600,000 Iraqis and almost 3,000 of our own soldiers. I hate stupidity. I hate willful ignorance. Oh, my God, it turns my stomach. Big break here. We'll be back for the final hour of the Springer program coming up. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy, sitting in for Jerry. Ah! Back, 6 past the hour, Mike Malloy sitting in for Jerry Springer. And just a note to all the nervous program directors and general managers that the various radio stations that carry Jerry Springer's program, he'll be back Monday, okay? You only have another hour of the Malloy program to or Malloy sitting in for Jerry to deal with. Again, you know, I sometimes get people that say, well, you know, since you understand, Malloy, that these right-wingers are so weird and inarticulate and unable to defend their position because they don't have one, why do you invite them to call? I have to say, because I keep hoping that maybe there's a chance, because I have to share this country until I leave, or they do, I have to share this country with these people. And I find it just it's just mind-numbing. It's appalling. It's horrifying. It's scary. It's like Germany in the 30s. When you hear some of these people who claim to be conservatives or Republicans or right-wingers or Bush-suckers or whatever they are, who answer the challenge and call whatever program I happen to be hosting, and then open their mouths and this drivel comes out, and you think, my God, the future of the Republic depends on people like this? Then it's over. I said the other day, this toy fake president of the United States, this George W. Bush, signed a document that nullifies 5 of the first 10 amendments to the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, that nullifies international treaties that protect our soldiers and Marines and sailors from torture, that enables the United States to sanction torture. Jesus, God! And we still profess to be a Christian nation? And by the way, the 15 people who were demonstrating outside the White House the other day when Mr. Bush signed this, the 15 people that were put into paddy wagons and taken away, those 15 people were preachers and ministers! Or so I understand. While the rest of us sat back on our collective asses and just, Bush said, oh, okay, yeah, all right. So when I bust up religion, I never intend to bust up people of faith. It's religion that disgusts me. Not the true believers who do believe, whether they're Jewish or Christian or Hindu or Muslim, whatever the religion is, the true peacemakers. You know, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. Would that include George Bush? What's the opposite of blessed? Condemned? What did Jesus say about the war makers? I don't think he said anything, because they were beyond contempt. They belonged to Satan. Blessed are the peacemakers. To the Catholic nuns and priests who every year go down to Columbus, Georgia, where the School of the Americas is located, Fort Benning, Georgia, where we, for the past 50 years, have trained people to go back to their home countries, mostly in Central and South America, and torture and kill. To those nuns and priests who go down there every year and put themselves on the line and get arrested, trying over and over and over again, under the direction of Father Roy Bourgeois, to try to bring to the attention of the American public how evil and degenerate and sick the School of the Americas really is. Those people, I say, I have great respect for you. It's not people of faith that turn my stomach. It's religion and all the evil and ugliness and nastiness that is done in the name of these religions. But over and over and over again, I try to find just one articulate right-winger who doesn't spew out Rush speak or Hannity speak or Michael Wiener Savage speak or any of this right-wing nonsense, who can just say, well, okay, you know what I'm waiting to hear? I'm waiting to hear these right-wingers, these Bush suckers, these Republicans, just once I'd like to hear, you know, you're right, I made a mistake. I made a mistake. I voted Nazis in. I'm not going to continue to vote them in. I'm either going to go stay home or I'm going to hold my nose and vote Democrat. But I'm not going to vote for another Nazi. How many times have we sat around in this country in the past 40 years and said to ourselves, how did it happen in Germany, a Christian nation? A nation that produced an inordinate amount of geniuses, whether it was in medicine or science or music or literature or art. How did that country give rise to the Nazis? How was that country able to keep its collective mouth shut while 6 million Jews and another 3 million innocent people were put into the gas chambers and furnaces? How many times have we sat around and said that? What happened to the German people? What was it that made them sit there in silence while the German Republic was destroyed by Hitler? You want an answer to that question? Listen to some of the people that call talk radio, whether it's my program or when I'm substituting for Jerry or Jerry's program or Sam Cedar's program or Randy Rhodes' program or Rachel Maddow's. I don't care who it is. Bob Kincaid's program, Peter Werby's program. Listen to what these right-wingers say, and then you have your answer as to how the German people allowed it to happen in the 30s. And that's what infuriates me. That's what pushes me beyond the point where I can just sit here like another good little Nazi and say, yeah, das ist gut, yeah. Yeah, we attacked Iraq because Mr. Bush told us to, yeah. No, I'm sorry. And I'm not trying to mock you if you're of German descent. You know what I'm saying. And the reason Republicans don't call a program and say, yeah, I made a mistake, is because they're ashamed. They are wallowing in shame. They are wallowing in self-contempt and shame as to what their murderous political party has done to the Constitution, to the United States, to our school children, to our old people, to people who need medical care, to our environment, to foreign countries. You are wallowing in shame. And some of these people will occasionally call and expect some sort of absolution. Well, I think I'll call the liberal talk show host. Maybe I can get absolution. No, you won't get absolution here, pal. You'll get condemnation. You want absolution? Go see your priest. You want a way out of your shameful predicament? Go talk to your spiritual advisor. Consult your rabbi. Talk to your imam. Talk to your priest, your minister. Don't come to me, because I will chew your ass up and spit you out. You are destroying my country. All right, let's go back to some calls here. Laura is calling. I think Laura is still there from Oak Park, Michigan. Is Laura still there?
Yes, this is Laura. Mike?
Hey,
Mike?
Laura. Yes,
I'm
yes.
Mike. I'm Mike. We miss you so much here. Mike, I have so many things to say to you, and I'm going to try to do it before they throw me off the air. Okay, first of all, a 21-year-old girl had cut my hair last week, okay? Mm-hmm. She lost three of her close friends in the Iraq War. Her family is completely on the side of George Bush. Okay.
Her what? Say that again.
She's okay. Her family. She lost three of her close friends.
Oh, her family supports.
Bush. Okay. Her family supports Bush. She does not support him at all. I mean, and she said that she thought she was the only one that felt the way we did. My whole family is appalled by this administration. We have never voted for a Republican. And my father, who's a World War II vet, saw everything. We lost family in the Holocaust. And we are embarrassed by what's going on, and we are embarrassed at what's happening to this country. And I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, this is mind-boggling. And my father...
Well, you know, I'll tell you, Laura, what's going to happen at some point, and I pray this is the case, at some point we will reach a tipping point in this country where if we feel that the electoral system no longer responds honestly, then the American public will rise up and say,
exactly,
okay, we've had enough.
And my father said that he was following what Adolf Hitler did. My father said it. When he started doing all these things, especially going after the entitlement programs, and he said, this is what Adolf Hitler, all this stuff that he's doing, that Bush was being told, you know, what to do. And, Mike, all these people have to do in America is read what? Our Madhouse, American Dynasty. Am I right?
Yes, that's all.
That's all they have to do. And real quick, can I make a plug for someone, a friend of yours?
Sure.
Nancy Skinner. And I'm not in her district, but I have helped her out, and I'm helping her out again this weekend.
Well,
okay?
Thank you. It's people like Nancy Skinner who have got to be elected to the United States House of Representatives so we can stop this.
So I'm just letting you know that I'm not in her district. I'm in Sandy Levin's district, but I'm out there this whole week, and we've been doing this for years now, helping the Democrats, and they better get on the right war road, not the wrong road. And Mike Malloy, we miss you here in Oak Park, Michigan, and hopefully we get to hear you on satellite.
Well, you know what Arnold said. I'll be back.
Speaking of Arnold, would you please speak to the California people? My brother wants to vote for him.
I'll do it. Thanks, Laura.
Thank
Gotta
you.
Go. Gotta
great,
go.
Great for the great...
Okay, goodbye, Laura. I'll be back. Springer on the radio with Malloy.
How's anybody going to hear if you don't say it? 877-345-3779. 877-34-JERRY. Springer on the radio.
Springer on Air America Radio.
Springer on the radio. My name is Mike Malloy. Let's go back to your phone calls. Alan is calling from Miami. Alan, welcome to the program.
Hi, it's really good to hear you again.
Well, thanks, Alan.
It's a real relief. Having spent some time in Latin America during the 70s and so forth, I feel that people here don't seem to recognize the dangers that are coming towards us. Unless you've seen something similar before and know, as you mentioned before, how the School of America has trained people down there, what they're now training Americans to do here and abroad. What bothered me was this morning I listened to an interview show with Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who's in generally a fairly decent congresswoman from Florida.
Uh-huh.
But she was talking about how when the Democrats get into Congress, they're not going to push for impeachment. They may do some investigations, but they just really want to build a better economy and better jobs and all this. And I just say, don't these people understand what's happening here? It's not about vindictiveness. It's about understanding real crimes have gone on here.
Good point.
And the thing is that with that kind of attitude, that's not what's going to drive people who are upset to the polls. By just saying, by pretending it's the same old election and this question of this kind, they're talking about sitting around the table together with the Republicans and having bipartisan solutions. They're talking as though this war isn't happening. They're talking as though habeas corpus hasn't been taken from us. They're talking as though they're not listening to our phone calls and our emails. I mean,
you know, you're absolutely right, Alan, and you've probably just articulated better than I could if I sat here for a week and tried to explain the very position that you just ably explained. Democrats should not be saying we're not going to impeach. They can just let it go. But you're absolutely right. Crimes have been committed against the Constitution and the American people. Crimes have been committed. These bastards should be removed from office because they have committed crimes. Maybe the Democratic candidates are just lying low. You know what liars the Republicans are and the Christian right is. So maybe the Democratic tactic here is to lie low and not scare people. You know, impeachment is an indictment. Maybe people are afraid. Maybe the American public is afraid of indicting a president, although they damn sure weren't afraid of allowing Clinton to be indicted.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe that's it. And then the trial in the Senate that will come up and remove these bastards from office. So maybe the Democratic tactic here is just to say, okay, no, we're not going to do that. Don't worry. Everything will be okay. We just want to work on the economy.
Well, actually, they were saying that they were afraid that the impeachment would just tie them up for 2 years and not be able to do anything important for the country and the economy and for wages. And what I'm saying, if you can allow these kinds of crimes to go through, clearly high crimes and misdemeanors, where are we? At what point do you pull the emergency cord?
Well, you make a good point with your analogy about South America, possibly even a better point than comparing it to Nazi Germany. There were disappearances. There were detention camps. There were atrocities committed in Argentina, in Chile, and Brazil, and so many countries. Well, not necessarily Brazil. So many countries in South America as these right-wing neo-fascist organizations took over, like Pinochet. The list goes on and on. So maybe the better analogy is what happened in South America.
Well, isn't Kellogg Brown and Root now have don't they have a contract to build detention centers for,
yes.
for dissenters?
Yes.
Dissenters, people like you and me?
Yes.
Well,
yes.
If that doesn't scare somebody, I don't know what will.
Well, I've said it before, and I'm the least macho guy on the planet, but I'm a liberal that is well armed and know how to use my weapons, and I swear before anything that I might consider holy, that if I ever felt that people were coming to take me away from my political views, oh, they could take me, there's no question, but they would be taking a corpse.
Wish you the best of luck. I want to hear you more when you get on to your new show.
All right, thanks, Alan. Appreciate you checking in. Take care. No, I have no intention. I don't need to sound macho. I've got all that crap settled inside of myself years ago. You know, my masculinity or where I stand on certain issues and yada, 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 who cares? But I was brought up to believe in the United States Constitution. I was brought up to believe that the framers of that Constitution, even though as they were putting it together, they were practicing genocide and slavery. They still had an idea that maybe America could attain. And they called it the Great Experiment. You know, I'm not so naive as to not understand that the indigenous people in this country had to be murdered before white Europeans could take hold. I'm not naive enough to believe that white treasure and estates and vast fortunes weren't built on the backs of African slaves. But still, that's why we're a nation of laws and not of men. As flawed as the framers were in their personal lives, they wrote some documents that, if subscribed to fully, would guarantee that, yeah, all men are created equal, or all people are created equal. That's how I was brought up, to believe those documents, to understand why a constitutional convention was called to include 10 amendments at the very beginning. Whoa, 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 wait a second. Our Constitution doesn't include freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of religion, freedom of assembly, freedom of, to petition the government for redress of wrongs, a right to privacy, a right to not be forced to self-incriminate. That's gone now that we're a torture company, a country. That's how I was brought up. And that's why I get so angry. Because I'm an American. I'm a patriot. I believe in this country. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Hey, you can join our conversation at 1-877-34-JERRY. That's 1-877-345-3779.
Tradition. Conservatism. You know, the kind of crap our forefathers fought against. Progress with Jerry Springer on the radio.
Our number is 877-34-JERRY. Call now.
Springer on Air America Radio.
Conversation at 1-877-34-JERRY. That's 1-877-345-3779. Right now, let's send it to Gerald Friermong for Crop News.
And now, spanning the globe with the expanding spandex of spin, this is news you can depend on. Journalism with a capital G. Gerald Friermong, reporting the latest edition of Croc News. Croc News knows. Now.
Gerald Friermong is on assignment in the stars. I'm Katie Krockick, Croc News. Will North Korea conduct a second nuclear test? Can Kim Jong-il get it up again so soon? Kim says he has achieved the ability to decide any time in a 36-hour period whether to launch. But Dick Cheney warns that such recklessness could blow up in his face. The retired priest in Italy suspected of molesting Mark Foley as a boy says there was no actual sex as defined by the Bill Clinton dictionary. But the priest admits he was addicted to tranquilizers back then and that there's one night with Foley he doesn't remember clearly. He can't recall whether the drug addiction caused him to molest the boy or to start doing a conservative radio talk show. Predictions of weekend terrorist attacks at several stadiums appear unfounded. Now, some are accusing the government of just spreading fear to affect the upcoming election. Karl Rove says that's nonsense, and besides, Democrats want to eat your children. NBC says it must cut 700 jobs, consolidate several divisions, fire some highly paid performers, and produce less expensive TV shows. Next season, NBC will change their peacock to a penguin, broadcast in low-def black and white, and present revamped cheaper shows such as Sunday Night Chess, No Deal, and The Tonight Show with Corey Feldman. Stay tuned to Croc News. We give it just the way you like it. The prettiest newscasters with the ugliest stories. For Gerald Friermong on assignment in the stars, I'm Katie Krockick, Croc News.
Jerry Springer on the radio.
Springer on the radio. Malloy sitting in for Jerry. Don't forget, October 30th, which is a Monday, I will be back on the air on the Nova M Radio Network. You can find out more about it. Go to novamradio.com, and all the information will be there. We'll be on every night from 9 to midnight, Monday through Friday. So whether you listen via the radio or via internet stream or whatever satellite radio service that Nova M subscribes with, I hope to see you. All right? Back to your phone calls. KJ is calling from Washington State. KJ, welcome to the program.
Mike, haven't I heard you refer to George W. Bush as the pig man?
No, that's Limbaugh.
Oh, okay. Well, in any case, isn't that a little insulting to pigs?
Well, you could take that point of view, yes.
I mean, I've my grandfather used to raise them. They're very agreeable animals. They're very sweet, and they're very tasty.
They are very tasty, right.
Yeah.
But you know something that has put me off pork completely? I almost feel like maybe I've adopted some dietary law. I understand that pork has an alarmingly similar taste to human flesh. No, I'm serious. I'm serious.
Yeah. Well, we eat soy substitutes these days anyway.
Yeah, there you go.
But I have a problem when people compare these monsters to animals as being someone who likes animals better than he likes most people.
I know. Every time I say they're animals, I think, come on, that's unfair to the animals. I understand that.
Anyway, welcome back to the airwaves, Mike. We've missed you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. All right. Take care, KJ. Dave is calling from Chicago. Dave, welcome to the program.
Oh, Mike, I'm so glad to be on the air with you. I've been waiting an hour and a half watching
Uh-oh.
my 1-year-old learn how to walk here. I've been angry.
While you were on hold.
Well, I've been waiting, probably at least an hour. And, I wanted to talk to you because every time I've been listening to Air America for about a year now, or however long it's been available in Chicago.
Right.
And anytime you subbed in for anyone, I'd be like, who is this guy? Who is this guy who speaks what I've been feeling for 6 years?
I hear you.
And I was just thinking to myself, I'm not going to get angry. I wanted to ask you, a while back, probably an hour ago now, someone mentioned, and I think you touched on it, Gerald Ford, he pardoned Nixon, part of the reason why he lost.
Right.
And Eric called subsequently, and a few others have talked about, they've touched on, he signed this bill or whatever it is, this heinous thing where they can try to get out of all this, all the crimes they've done in 6 years. And like a lot of progressives and liberals, most of my family has been Republican,
mm-hmm.
and at least voted for him once. So I always feel like I'm this voice in the wilderness, and they look at you crazy.
I know.
But my question is, if we, God willing, and I know you're an atheist, and I've kind of lurched that way in these 6 years, if, let's say, the Democrats take at least one House of Congress, and we are able to, can he get away with this, is what I'm saying, is can, hopefully in 08, we get a Democrat as the president. Can he overturn what this idiot is trying to do to this country?
As far as pardons are concerned, no. That is power vested in the chief executive. If any president issues a pardon to anyone, including himself or herself, there's nothing Congress or the courts can do about it. It's written that way into the Constitution. However, any law that is passed by the Senate or the House, there are two ways to overturn that law. First of all, push it into court and have the courts overturn it. Or secondly, pass a subsequent law that rescinds the law that was passed. Hey, hold on a second, if you don't mind. We got to take a break, Tom. And this is Tom, right? No, this is Dave. Are you still there, Dave? Oh, okay. Dave's on hold. Good. We'll take a break and come right back. This is Springer on the Radio. I'm Mike Malloy.
Talk to Jerry Springer on the radio.
Hey, Jerry!
On your telephone.
Oh.
Call 877-345-3779. That's 877-34-JERRY.
Springer on Air America Radio.
Sixteen before the hour. This is Springer on the Radio. Malloy sitting in. Back to Dave in Chicago, whom we had to put on hold. All right, Dave, you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I've completely lost my train of thought.
You answered it, but I guess what I want to say is, for 6 years, you know, a lot of us have been very, very angry and not knowing what to do. And I guess I just want the truth, which is why I listen to you when I can, and other people on Air America. But I want justice. These guys need to be removed at the very least and drawn and quartered, in my opinion. But I'd rather see them in prison, and I just want some kind of accountability to occur,
mm-hmm.
and not let them get away with this kind of stuff. It irks me that I can't communicate with two loved ones because they live in this milquetoast world where Americans are we're too comfortable.
Yeah.
And they don't seem to get, Nazi Germany, it could never happen here. Well, yeah, no one wants to think that. But I feel like I'm going crazy here. I watch my three sons here that are 9, 6, and now I have a 13-month-old who's walking here next to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, when I hear you and I hear Sam Cedar get angry, and it's like, damn it, that's me. That's me.
Well, you know, you share something with Sam and I, and that is, even though I'm probably old enough to be your father, I have a 2-year-old. Sam Cedar has a baby that's just over a year. You have your child, 3 children, but your young one. And I think that's what is unnerving to those of us who are parents of small children. I have adult children. I have grandchildren, for God's sake. And you kind of term that your grandkids' safety and the responsibility of raising them over to your children. But when you have a little one, I have 2-year-old, 26-month-old Molly, and I look at her the same way you look at your 13-month-old and your other two, and I think, my God, what am I going to hand off to her? What is she going to have to deal with? And that's where a lot of my rage comes from, and that's where a lot of my feeling, like yours, that there's got to be some justice. These people have got to be held accountable some way. I'd like to see them impeached, tried, convicted, and then maybe pardoned. But at least let the American public and the world know that we're not going to allow criminals to take over our government.
Right, and I feel like I'm very patriotic. I'm not like you. I'm not a man, so-called man's man, a macho guy. I'm just an average guy who's been angry because the so-called macho types have taken over, or in their minds at least, but
yeah.
None of them served, not that that should be the barometer, but they ran on the so-called character, and yet none of these guys did any kind of service for the country. They just take their corporate backers to the point where no one's going to have a job that's worth anything. And I just don't know how the American people can just sit by and, well, I do know why. I mean, if we went to Florida for a vacation to Disney, which is not something I want to support
mm-hmm.
because of their influence, but we took our kids anyway. But I go through the airport and you see the magazines. You don't see The Nation. You don't see Progressive Populist. You see Time Magazine and these general, this middle America that I don't even understand anymore. What do I live? What am I living in?
Man, I'll tell you, Dave. I'm right there with you, brother. I swear to God, I am. If you've listened to this program, you understand. You and I are on the same page. But let me tell you something. You're on the same page with millions, if not tens of millions, of other Americans who feel exactly the same way. And hopefully, this election cycle, we will get rid of these pigs. Dave, I got to leave it there. Thanks
okay.
a lot.
Thanks.
I appreciate you calling. I appreciate what you had to say. And I truly respect you. Take care. Take care. Take care. Why doesn't a conservative ever call with that kind of a phone call? Why doesn't a Republican? When did Republicans become so twisted and perverted that they're willing to sit back and allow the Constitution to be destroyed? When did Republicans or conservatives get to the point where they don't care anymore about their privacy, about their children, about the direction the country is heading? When did that happen? When did it become just liberals and progressives and Democrats like Dave, like me, like you, that gave a damn about this country? When did that happen? Where was I? Was I out to lunch? Was I stoned? Where was I when Republicans and conservatives decided, ah, to hell with it, we hate this country. When did that happen? It's about 7 before the hour. Before we run out of time here, I want to thank Paul Mason, who engineered the program the past couple of days, Stephanie Tyler, who is the executive producer of the Springer program, for handling both these folks for handling the production and engineering end of the of my substituting for Springer. Thanks a lot, guys. Also, a thank you to WGST here in Atlanta, a Clear Channel station that provided studio facilities for me to come in here and substitute for Jerry for the past couple of days. If we get invited to do this again, we'll be doing it from our own studio that is now in the process of being built. But anyway, thanks. A big round of applause, please, for Paul Mason and Stephanie Tyler. Thank you very much, lady and gentlemen. I appreciate the help, and also WGST here in Atlanta. I think we have time for one more call. Tom is calling from Oakland, California. Tom, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, I'm glad to hear that you're back on the air.
Me too, pal.
Yeah, I was actually listening to the new station that you're going to be on, Nova M.
Uh-huh.
And on one of the shows, they had an interesting subject where it was bringing up the fact that these soldiers over in the war, because there's so few women and they're crowded together, is very much like men in jail, where they start performing homosexual acts. And I just thought it was funny, these right-wingers who support, you know, the war and Bush and stuff, but hate gays, are, you know, basically the war is forcing some of the troops to be gay.
No, I disagree with that. It's one thing to be homosexual, and as far as I'm concerned, people are born homosexual or they are not. It's something else again to have a homosexual experience. If you look at sexuality on a continuum, way over on this side, you have heterosexuality exclusively. Way over on this side, you have homosexuality exclusively. And then it's kind of a sliding scale. I don't think there's a man or woman on the planet who, given the right set of circumstances, can't be one or the other. That's just my take on it.
Yeah, I agree.
So people who are put into a same-sex situation under a lot of stress, who might look for comfort from each other, and happen to get involved in a physical relationship, to me just makes perfect sense. I honestly believe that. So as far as complete homosexuality, complete heterosexuality, sure, a lot of us are that way. But I would think more of us are kind of on a sliding scale where, given the right set of circumstances, you know, sex, after all, is sex. A physical comfort from another human being is physical comfort from another human being. Now, I know a lot of right-wingers listening to this right now are saying, oh, my God, he's advocating homosexuality. Look, you know, to hell with that attitude. Human sexuality is human sexuality. If people want to break it into homo and hetero, who am I to say don't do it? But I'm just saying that sexuality to me has, you know, once I began to understand it, has always been kind of a sliding scale sort of thing. So I don't think saying that troops or people in jail or whatever, people who get affection and physical affection from members of the same sex are gay or straight. They're just being people. Thanks, everybody, for your participation in my substituting for Jerry Springer. We might do this again, unless there's too many complaints. I'll see you starting October 30th, Nova M Radio. Go to novamradio.com and find out where I'm going to be and how to tune in. In the meantime, take care, all right? Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy for Jerry Springer.